You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
It's great to gather together. Super excited about the boot camps this year. So Bristow, Nally, thanks for that invitation. We would love to see you there and be part of our training as a church. And of course, the relationships that are built and the meal that we get to share are always kind of icing on the cake. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. Excited to be preaching this morning because we're continuing our series in the new year called Kingdom Living. Kingdom Living, where we're just looking and examining the lives of the earliest followers of Jesus and what they thought it meant to live in God's kingdom. What they thought it meant to be a disciple of Christ and continue the work of Jesus, which of course, by extension, is an invitation to each and every one of us. And there's a wonderful passage in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. We're gonna be in that passage the entire month of January. I read the whole passage last week, but I had mentioned we're just gonna kind of read one or two verses a week and slowly work our way through this passage. And so I'm just gonna read verse 42 and verse 43 this morning, and then we're going to jump in. This is what it says: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Last week, we talked a lot about that word devotion in verse 42, how we can live devoted lives to Christ, and this is a prayer of mine that will continue to be so all year long. But verse 43, I think, is just as inspiring. A sense of awe fell and descended upon all the believers. Signs and wonders and miracles, all kinds of miracles were happening for the earliest followers of Jesus. Now, I want to be devoted more and more. I want to be in awe of who God is and what he is doing. And I absolutely want to see more signs and wonders in my life. And as a follower of Jesus, I've gotten to see some pretty incredible things as I've walked with the Lord and watched what he's done in different communities. I've been a part of things that I just can't unsee. Right, I can't stop, you wouldn't be able to convince me that miracles don't happen anymore because I've seen too much. I've seen too much. About 20 years ago, I went on my first missions trip to the country of Peru, and it changed my life forever. It changed my worldview and my understanding of how God's supernatural power moves on earth. My Christian worldview expanded in incredible ways on that trip, and I will never be the same. It was the first place I ever preached the gospel. First time I ever got to pray with someone to give their life to Jesus, and it was in Spanish, which was really special. And I saw hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating at all when I say I saw hundreds of miracles take place on that trip. It was pretty simple, actually. We would just go to a church or a marketplace somewhere in the public square. We would try to gather a little bit of a crowd. We would do some worship. Someone would preach the gospel, and the call to ministry was the same every single time. It was wildly simple. We just said, if anybody needs to experience the power of God today, if anybody needs to experience a miracle, why don't you just raise your hand? Because we would love to pray for you, and we believe God's love, power, and presence will show up in your life today. And after that ministry call, you would just look out in the market square, the church, wherever we were at, and all kinds of hands would start to go up. And our little team of about 20 missionaries or so, we would go out into the crowd, and we would just start laying hands on people's shoulders and inviting the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm telling you, the things that we saw, eyes that literally were just, you could just tell they were fogged over. They were glad. People could not see whatsoever. We'd pray for them, and almost instantaneously, that like fogginess in their eyes would be totally wiped away. They would be clear-eyed, and they would be able to see. ears that were totally closed, and we would check to see if they were deaf before we would pray for them, and we would lay hands on them and we would pray for them, inviting the kingdom to come, and all of a sudden, in a moment, they would be able to hear. And those kinds of miracles, when they show up, they cause a scene. They cause a scene because someone who used to not be able to see and can now see, or used to not be able to hear and can now hear, they start to make a commotion. Because their life all of a sudden has been radically changed. One time there was a guy lying on, we were in a public square, and there was a guy laying on the curb, and he was laying on a mat. He had crutches next to him. Clearly one of his legs wasn't working. And when we came to the call for ministry, he raised his hand. This is about 5 days into the ministry trip. So my faith was already filled because I had already seen so many miracles take place. I got out into the crowd and I just said one simple, bold prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he kind of like got to his knees and then he stood up. He was holding both of his crutches still. And I said, no, may the power of Christ fall upon you now. Drop a crutch and see if you can walk. And so he dropped one and he took a couple steps and then he dropped the other and took more steps. And about 5 seconds after that, he started running up and down the street, praising God. Gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios, glory to God, glory to God. He created an entire scene which drew more people in. They were pressing all around us and we just started praying for people. 5 second prayers over and over and over again. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. It felt like maybe the closest heaven's ever come to earth in my personal life. It was incredible. But it's not just healing, it's also the prophetic. It's also the ability to hear from God for one another. You know, last year, a bunch of Vineyard pastors, we were invited to go to a college campus ministry with InterVarsity. A whole bunch of leaders were gathered. They invited Vineyard pastors to come and be the prayer team at this conference. And so one evening, I went forward to pray for all the different college students. And I remember praying for a gal from San Diego. And I just laid my hand on her shoulder and I just said, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And so as we began to pray, I just felt like this really strong impression on my heart. I felt like the Lord was speaking to me on her behalf. And so, you know, it wasn't like an audible voice or anything like that. It's just over time, I've come to trust in the way that God speaks to me. And so I stepped out in faith and I said, I feel like this is what the Lord is saying to you. And then I gave her two or three phrases. And when I said the last word, she just collapsed to the ground and started weeping. She just started weeping. And then after about 10 seconds of weeping, she looked at me and kind of asked me, it was more like an interrogation, not really a question. She pointed at me. She said, how did you know that? How did you know to pray those things? I just wrote those things in my journal this morning. I've been asking God for those things and I haven't told anybody. I said, well, I didn't know. That's kind of the point of this. I feel like God is speaking to you right now, confirming the very things that you've been praying about, inviting you into a new season of trusting in him and following him. This is the Lord speaking to you. And she just wept and wept and wept. For her, it was a powerful, and for me, it was a powerful moment and a sign and wonder in her life. Now, I also will say that, you know, I've been praying for the sick and trying to hear from God for over 20 years, and I have failed miserably many times as well. I mean, miserably, like in embarrassing ways. I've given many prophetic words that don't make sense to anyone. And when it comes to healing prayer, it seems like I have more unanswered prayers than I have answered prayers. It's just kind of part of the equation. I don't think I've ever told anyone this story before. I mean, Natalie knows this story because you were there, but this story has stayed in a pretty close circle because I was fairly embarrassed by it at first. But when we were in college, we started a little prayer ministry. It's kind of like a church service, but it was totally dedicated to experiencing God's power together as a bunch of college students. We'd gather every Monday night and we would just, you know, we would worship and we would open the Bible together and then we would invite God to move. And we would pray for healing and try to hear God's voice for one another all of the time. And one day, a friend of ours, his name was Jeff, ironically, as well, and he had scoliosis in the back, and he wanted to come in and receive prayer for his back to be healed. And I don't know what happened in my brain in that moment. I was full of faith. I do know that. I think God smiled upon that. But I must have been reading like old revivalist stories from Smith Wigglesworth or something like that, because the thought I had was, you know what? I feel like God's asking me to walk on your back, and then that's what's going to release the healing. I swear that's what happened. I had to say it fast, otherwise I wouldn't have said it out loud. We're all 20 years old and we're filled with faith. So next thing you know, he's lying on the ground. He's like, do it, Jeff, let's pray. And so I slip my shoes off. I grab two other people. So like the whole weight of my body isn't crushing his back that already has scoliosis. And I walk across his back barefoot saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I can tell you with 100% confidence, no healing took place whatsoever. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I do want to give you just a sense of relief that during ministry time here at the Vineyard, if you go back to our prayer team, they will not take off their shoes and walk on your back. We've eliminated that method of prayer here at the Vineyard. It didn't work. It didn't. The only thing that happened was I got embarrassed. I learned a good lesson that maybe everything that comes into your mind isn't from God. And he learned that I have like slightly sweaty feet after a whole day of college classes. That's pretty nasty, right? But the miracle is that everybody came back the next Monday. No one quit that group. Everybody came because we were just hungry. We wanted to experience God. We read about it in the scriptures and we wanted it to be part of our life. And we were willing to look like fools to give it a try. Now again, that one didn't work. I would maybe not add that to your prayer repertoire, but still, stepping out in faith, doing wild things in the name of Jesus, it's amazing how gracious he is and how often he smiles at our faith. I've tried all kinds of things that haven't worked. I've prayed for all kinds of people that haven't been healed. Well, just last month, I prayed for one of my daughters who was struggling with incredible leg pain and nothing worked. So we gave her medicine. We soothed her and comforted her and helped her get to bed. And honestly, I don't always know why it happens that way. I don't. I mean, I have a theological understanding for why. I could work through the scriptures with you and talk about why healing happens sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. But you know, the how, when, and why of when miracles take place, sometimes it just doesn't make sense for our minds and our hearts. But like I said before, I've seen too much. I've seen too much. I've seen too many miracles to stop praying for them. I know it doesn't happen all the time. I know sometimes I go to bed sick and sometimes but those who are closest to me in my own family, they go to bed sick, but I've seen too much. And so I keep on praying because I'd rather pray and not see something and deal with that than never pray and never see anything. And if you're here this morning and it's news to you that God's power still moves on earth, I am so glad you're here at the Vineyard. May we be a church that reminds you that God's power is still alive and active today. And if you're here and you've never started a life with God in the first place, and over the course of our time this morning, you are ready to go all in with Jesus and begin following the God of miracles. And at the end of our time together this morning, we're gonna give you an opportunity to surrender your life to God for the very first time as well. But I just have to tell you, and as we explore the scriptures, I wanna remind you over and over and over again that miracles happened for the earliest followers of Jesus. They had an expectation and a faith, and they still happen for us today. This is part of what it means to live in God's kingdom. Look at verse 43 again, because there's a few things that I kind of want to highlight and work our way through again this morning. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I think it's important to notice how signs and wonders and this general sense of awe seem to be connected together. And last week, we talked a lot about devotion and how we want to have devoted lives to the Lord above anything else this world has to offer. But this word awe is also incredibly important. It means a deep reverence and respect, this kind of idea of being captivated by God, caught up, this idea that your eyes are continually being lifted off of earth onto him, something greater. Something more inspiring and more majestic than you can imagine, being in awe of God. And this morning, I want to encourage all of us to embrace this reality, to embrace the awe. It will do wonders for your walk with Jesus if you remain in awe of God, allowing yourself to get caught up in the splendor and glory and majesty of Jesus Christ. It will do wonders for how you enter church on a Sunday morning. It really will. I mean, imagine coming to church with a growing sense of awe and wonder for what God might do in our midst. Imagine walking into this room on Sunday morning after you get a cup of coffee or drop your kids off in kids' ministry, and you walk into this room and the pervading question in your mind and heart is, God, what are you going to do today? How can we be captivated by your glory and splendor? Holy Spirit, how are you moving? What are you doing? And how are we going to experience your power today? You know, a common question, many of us come into church, and the question that's kind of on our mind is more like, what's here for me today? What's here for me today? And I don't like disregard that question. I don't hate that question. It at least demonstrates that you have an active faith that God could show up in your life right here, right now. So it's not a horrible question, but the better question is, God, what are you already at work doing? How can we join you? How can we be captivated by your glory and your presence and caught up in this majesty of what it is you're doing? I think that's the better question because he is the main character of the story. And it lifts our eyes off of ourselves and up on to him, embracing this posture of being in awe of God and worshiping him, getting caught up in his presence. It will dramatically change your experience of church. But then also, as you continue to navigate this scripture, I think it's also time to do the work. I think there's an invitation for all of us to do the work. Because sometimes if you just kind of meander and move through life, signs and wonders will show up. It's God's grace extended to you, and all of a sudden, your path will be made straight and things will just start to happen. But more often than not, what's more common is that the people who experience signs and wonders are the ones who are trying to do the work of Christ. Once you start praying for the sick, once you start trying to hear from God, once you start stepping out in faith, that seems to be the action that helps us partner with the very Spirit of God and the work of his kingdom on earth. Look at verse 43 again. I'm gonna highlight just the second half of this verse. This might tweak some of your theologies a little bit this morning. It's really interesting the way that it's written. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And look at this. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. That's a really interesting phrase, isn't it? That the apostles performed signs and wonders. Of course, everyone knows it's the power of Christ working in and through these believers. Every time you see a miracle, it's the power of God, and it's not your own power. But it's very interesting that the scripture says the apostles performed the work. Nobody was confused, and we don't want to be confused this morning either. The power was coming from God, but the author didn't even find it necessary to clarify that because they all knew that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lived in those believers, and that same promise is ours today, that anyone who follows Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and the Holy Spirit is compelling us to continue the work of Christ today. And it's not some kind of one-off scripture. It's everywhere in scripture. It's everywhere in the New Testament. If you're still in chapter 2, just a few verses 4, Peter's preaching to a crowd. Look at verse 22. Peter's preaching to a crowd. He says, people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. That's verse 22, just about 20 so verses before the one I just read. And so it said Jesus performed signs and wonders, and then verse 43, it says the apostles performed signs and wonders. Jesus did it, the apostles did it. And then in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John, they saw a lame man in front of the temple, look at what it says in verse 6. It's such an incredibly bold prayer. Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Get up and walk. I'll give you what I have. And then it's just a simple command right after that. Get up and walk. You know, sometimes in our false humility, or even maybe a misunderstanding of theology and how the authority of Christ works in a believer's life, we can miss the scriptures that tell us we are called to continue the work of Christ on earth. And when we miss that, and when we forget the authority that Christ has already died for, then our prayers stop sounding like commands, and they start sounding like persuasive arguments or negotiations with God. Like, Lord, please. Lord, please, if you'll just release your healing, we could just use a taste of it right now. Just a little bit, just a little touch from heaven, Lord. Please give us a taste of healing. No, Peter said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Such a different kind of authority that he understands and is walking in. Peter wasn't begging. He knew where he stood with Christ. And he was praying for the kingdom to be released in Jesus' name. I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. It's amazing, really. It's amazing. So we have to wrestle with, like, again, who's doing the work? Who is doing the work? And the answer is you are. You and I, we are doing the work. It's his power. It's his power. You have to be tapped into the power of God or this thing isn't going to fly. But you and I are the ones going out and doing the work. It's almost hard to comprehend that the God of the universe would entrust this kind of authority to us. I mean, it's wild if you think about it. We're pretty messed up this side of heaven. And yet he says, you are my child. I'm placing my authority upon you, my power within you. Go and continue the work that I ushered in through the life, teachings, and ministry of Jesus. When Jesus sent out the disciples in Luke 9, it's the same thing. It says Jesus gave them authority to cast out demons and heal the sick. And he said, go and heal the sick. Go and set the captives free. You've seen me do it, Jesus said. Now you go and do it. It's the same phrase from last week. Remember, monkey see, monkey do. This is what discipleship is. We've seen Jesus do it. Now we want to go and do it. And hopefully we can do it in a way that others watch what we're doing and they go and replicate that as well. It's amazing to me that God would entrust us to do this kind of work, but he does. And my prayer is that this passage and really the entire book of Acts would inspire us to continue the work of Christ and join him in the mission of transforming all things. Now, of course, to do this and do it well, there is some training that can come alongside with it. There's some training, there's some learning that often comes along that helps us along the way. And so that's the final point for this morning, is that it's also time to learn. We want to embrace being captivated and being in awe of God. We want to do the work. We don't want to shy away from the work. We want to step out in faith and do it. But there's also an invitation for each and every one of us to learn how to do this. And I just want to say on the front end, it's pretty simple. The best way to learn this stuff is to try it. Is to try it. Try here on Sundays. Join the kids team and pray for kids and see what happens. Join the prayer team in here and pray for adults. I mean, there's all kinds of teams. You can sign up for a bunch of them out on the calls wall right now. Or join a small group. Join a small group. I think small groups are one of the safest places for you to learn how to walk in the power of God, because it's a small group. You can get immediate feedback on if that prayer made any sense or if that prayer worked or not. And if it didn't, guess what? We'll meet again and I'll try again. But it's a really safe place to try praying for those who you're connected with. Small groups are the best training grounds for you to step out in faith. And whether it's small groups or a service team or here in church, this is the safe place to learn and grow so that when you go out into the world, your faith is high, your confidence is built up, and you can pray for your neighbor or your classmate or your coworker, your family or friends. You can try to hear from God in the privacy of your home and even text what you think might be a prophetic word. And you can ask them, did that make any sense to you or not? And you can get that kind of feedback and grow in this as you try. Again, God does incredibly gracious things when you step out in faith. And sometimes he'll even bless weird and sometimes misguided attempts. You can also learn. Like, we can learn from each other. Like, maybe don't slip off your shoes and walk on each other's backs. Like, that's that one. I've tried that one, okay? So unless you like have an angel telling you to do it, you know, maybe don't do that one. But God loves faith. God loves faith. He responds to it. So just try to do the things of Christ in your life and begin to see what kind of testimonies are created. Bristow and Natalie already talked about boot camps, but it's another great training place. Every spiritual boot camp we have, we eat together, we learn together, and we practice together. It's what we do. And since this year is all about the kingdom of God, every single boot camp, we're gonna have a dedicated time to walking in the power of Christ together and sharpening one another so that we can do those things here and we can do those things out in the world. I also put three links in my sermon notes. You can go to votrweekly.org, look up the sermon notes. I put three great links to three fantastic books that will help you grow in praying for the sick and walking with the power of the Spirit. Three fantastic books. I would highly recommend all of them, but I just encourage you to read and grow and put into practice these kinds of things. They will help you try to walk in the kingdom of God. You know, as I close this morning, I shared some stories from my past and the way that God shaped my worldview and walking in the naturally supernatural kind of cadence with the Holy Spirit. But I wanna finish our time by giving you three testimonies that have happened right here in this room on a Sunday morning during prayer ministry or during our time together. Here are three quick stories. You know, every Sunday we gather, we have prayer ministry, and I think these are important to celebrate and share with all of you. A few years ago, a guy in our church who I won't name, he needed knee replacement. That's a pretty big operation, knee replacement. The x-ray showed that it was bone on bone. The pain was excruciating. And about 2 months before the surgery was to take place, this guy realized, I haven't even gotten prayer about this. So he went back for prayer during prayer ministry time. And when he was finished getting prayer, nothing so much happened immediately, but within 1 day, all of the pain was gone. And the knee replacement surgery was canceled. No knee replacement needed. Right here on a Sunday morning during prayer ministry time. A few months ago, a guy named Rob, who's actually a second service guy, so he's not here right now, but he told me I could share this story. A few months ago, Rob was here on a Sunday and he requested prayer from another guy in the lobby because the next morning, on Monday morning, he was going to go in and have heart surgery because they had found all kinds of blockages in his heart. It's kind of a big deal to talk about heart surgery. And so they were fighting back tears. I watched as a couple men prayed for one another. And by the time he went in for surgery the next morning, the cardiologist, almost in a fit of anger, canceled the operation because in the pre-op checkup, there was nothing wrong with the man's heart. This is something verified by a cardiologist. I don't know if you know this or not. Cardiologists don't cancel surgeries. They don't cancel surgeries. And you can ask Rob about it. His heart is completely clean, verified by a cardiologist. It's greatly increased his energy and he is still healthy today. And then I just heard this story the other day about John. John's a firefighter. He's actually at the firehouse right now. But during a recent workout, John had a herniated disc in his neck that caused a pinched nerve, and it just created debilitating pain throughout his body. It was affecting every area of his life, including his ability to work. He was not himself anymore. And in his words, he had a theology that God could heal, but he had never personally experienced God's power in that kind of way. He knew it could happen. He knew it like happened to other people, but he had never encountered God in that kind of way himself. But on a whim, he went back for prayer during ministry time, and some lady he had never met prayed for him, and the pain completely went away. Completely went away. Everything came back. He's now his normal self. He's working today at the firehouse. And all of a sudden, this theology that was kind of up in the clouds and up in his mind got grounded in his heart. Knowing those things don't just happen for everyone else, they can also happen for me. Now John, he's seen too much. He's experienced the very hand of God on his life. and he'll never be the same. I share these because they're not just stories from 20 years ago that happened in a foreign country. Share these stories because I didn't pray for a single one of those people. They were prayed for by volunteers and different leaders in our church. These are stories from folks in our church and in our room. May these stories inspire your faith and be only the foundation of where God is taking our church in the future. My prayer is that the Lord will increase our awe and that we would just be captivated by his majesty, that we would grow in faith and expectation for signs and wonders, and that God would inspire us to join him in the work of transforming all things. May it be true in Jesus' name. Let's pray together.